We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
We are starting our show today on a bit of a somber note. It is a day of mourning here on the Team 980 and in the greater Washington, D.C. area. We are laying to rest something that has been very important and very meaningful to us, to me, to Max, to Kevin, to you, the listener. We've grown very close over the past few weeks, months, but life and death, they come for all of us. We've laughed, we've been angry, we've been confused, all three of the basic human emotions. At a time like this, our skill as radio hosts is being tested. To quote Billy Joel, only the good die young. So with that, we lay to rest the sports radio topic of trading Terry McLaurin for TJ Watt. I appreciate all the kind words, DMs, and tweets. We do not have refreshments in the lobby because I ain't paying for y'all to eat, but you may leave. Thank you. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980. Denton Day sitting in for Kevin. TJ Watt got paid yesterday. I had a lot of fun, Max, watching Kevin, because I believe he was the first one in the market to bring this topic to the masses, taking a lot of calls on it, of the question of should they pay or should they trade Terry for TJ Watt. That is now done. When TJ Watt gets paid, the magnitude that he got paid yesterday by the Pittsburgh Steelers at like 4 p.m., $41 million per year. You ain't paying somebody $41 million a year to go turn around and trade them. So that topic is now done. It is buried. I shed a single thug tear. Just one. Not just multiple, just one. I'm happy for TJ Watt. And I feel like now at this point, Terry is next.
Please, God, let that be true.
I feel like Terry is next. This is going to be the subject of our poll question at the Team 980 on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter at the Denton Day. Do you think that Terry gets paid before training camp? It's very simple. Two options. Yes, no. I don't want to hear something about midway through. No. Very simple. Do you think that Terry McLaurin is going to get paid before training camp starts? Yes or no? Go vote on that. We will take your calls on that as well at 301-230-0980. Was there ever really a correlation between Terry and TJ Watt? Was a trade ever going to matriculate? No, I don't think that was ever going to happen. Because if you're Pittsburgh, you're not trading away the guy that has been the face of your franchise since the departure of Ben Roethlisberger. I know they went out and they got Aaron Rodgers, but it's 2025. He's not the face of your franchise. This is a one-year situation for Aaron Rodgers. I don't even know how good he's going to be in 2025. Kevin and I felt very differently about the way that he played in 2024. Wasn't bad, but he wasn't good. So with them paying TJ Watt, the next logical thing, at least in my mind, as far as the overall NFL offseason calendar is concerned, would be Washington paying Terry McLaurin. I am expecting that this is going to happen very soon. Not a report. It's a gut feel. I like to kind of swing a little bit emotionally sometimes.
As we all do.
It's a gut feel that Terry's contract is going to get situated soon. Because now feels like the point in time where everyone is talking. TJ Watt in Pittsburgh, well, they clearly are talking. They got that contract done. Terry had said earlier this week at Eastern Motors, in what has now become an infamous press conference, that the two sides weren't talking. My guess is they have now at least begun conversations. Don't know that for a fact, but as we get closer and closer to training camp, there is an urgency that comes with that. Crunch time, as Terry put it earlier this week, but there is an urgency that comes with it because I know they want him in camp. I know he wants to be in camp. He still can be, whether the contract is signed or not, but this is the way that business goes in the NFL. If you want a new contract and you do not have a new contract, you generally tend to sit out at the beginning of training camp. But I am optimistic that something is going to get done prior to training camp starting. And the past week or so, 2.5 weeks, will be put in the rearview mirror, and everyone is going to be happy. And I said this, I think I said this to Anthony Armstrong yesterday. It's either Anthony or Jay Gruden. If you missed those conversations, they're available on the Odyssey app and wherever it is that you get your podcasts. My guess is that as soon as Terry signs that contract, they're going to take him to the photo room in the facility. Nice backdrop. I don't know that it'll be the Metro backdrop that they used for the photo shoots when they unveiled the new uniforms. Well, the new old uniforms. But my guess is as soon as they sign Terry, you are going to see him in that burgundy and gold uniform that we have all grown to very much love. For some of you, you grew up loving that uniform. For others of us, it's just nice to have it back. But my guess is as soon as pen hits paper, that Terry McLaurin is going to be laced up in that new burgundy and gold, the real burgundy and gold.
That picture is going to hit like crack.
It is going to, my soul desperately needs that picture. I mean, maybe he's going to follow suit with what we have seen from now multiple NFL players, not just this offseason, Max, but within the past couple of days and weeks. Maybe he breaks his own news. I will say, so TJ Watt broke his news. He posted on Instagram. It was himself in a jersey. He was flexing. I would assume he had just sacked somebody on the field, right? So he posted on Instagram yesterday when he signed that contract. I then saw Terry McLaurin post a story. My heart rate spiked a little bit. I was like, yes, here we go.
Something.
Every time that from now until this contract gets signed, I don't spend a lot of time on Instagram. I've actually deleted it off my phone because I scroll it too much. Look at me being healthy and all. But every time I see a Terry McLaurin post on Instagram now, whether it just be a regular post or a story, my expectations as we get closer to training camp are going to be that he is breaking his own news. We have a wonderful amount of beat reporters in town, but it just seems to be the new wave that NFL players are on where they like to break their own news, taking the information and their story into their own hands. I like that, actually. I think they've done a really good job with that. But every time I now see a Terry McLaurin post, this is where my brain goes.
Yeah, same. I clicked expecting to see something of note, and I guess it kind of was. Terry and Tress Way are in a fishing competition.
You know what? That is what it was. It was Terry and Tress, which is, that is positive.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because Tress Way is on the team, right? And, like, they have a history together. Obviously, they played together for a while. My understanding, I don't know if this is 100% correct, but my understanding is that prior to Jaden Daniels coming here, Terry McLaurin was the favorite player for many, if not all, of Tressway's children. Because I distinctly remember a video a couple of years ago on social media where they like met for the first time, and Tress's kids do what all kids do when they meet someone they really admire, which is they just completely like shrink. You know,
yeah,
it's just what kids do. I did that when I was younger. I'm sure you did that when you were younger. It's just Absolutely. A natural thing. But it is nice to see those two hanging out, you know. That's positive. It's better than negative. I'll take anything that's better than negative right now, at least as it relates to the Terry McLaurin contract situation. I'm still confident. I'm still confident that something is going to get done. Now, this TJ Watt contract, that's a big contract.
Yeah, so I was, when the news broke yesterday, I was like, 123 over four, that's a lot. And then I did the math and I saw $41 million.
123 over 3 years. He is the highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history.
Good for him, man.
I mean, great for him. I don't think that actually impacts anything about Terry other than the fact of laying to rest our favorite topic of would you trade Terry for TJ Watt, which if I remember, the response seemed to be rather split on that discussion, at least in terms of some of the fans that were calling in. I would have taken TJ Watt, but I don't know that TJ Watt, I don't know that I consider him as the best defensive end or the best pass rusher in the league. He's getting paid like it because he's in that class. Like, there's very much a tier system with these NFL contracts, which is why the timing for the Terry thing hasn't rubbed me too much the wrong way. He's not in that tier of guys that reset the market. He's not. There's like three guys, I think, that can reset the market. A.J. Brown might be the next one if Philadelphia wants to do another extension with him. It feels like they've already done at least two since they traded for him. So I don't know that there's another one of those in the cards. But Terry is not in that upper echelon top tier of receivers with like your Jamar Chases, your Justin Jeffersons. I don't believe the Tyreek Hill is there anymore, but like your A.J. Brown, CeeDee Lambs. So you knew that they were never, they being Washington, was never going to reset the market with Terry. And because you're not going to reset the market, that does give the team a little bit more leverage because you don't have to rush it as much. If you plan on resetting the market, like if Pittsburgh signed TJ Watt before Myles Garrett, they would have saved $2 million per year because all you had to do was match or top Max Crosby's number. And if you time that right, maybe you save $4 million, you just give him $37 million. But because they waited and Cleveland didn't, they give Myles Garrett $40 million. And then Cincinnati put Jamar Chase over Myles Garrett. There was this extra amount of pressure for Pittsburgh to then give TJ Watt 40, well, I think it's 41.2 or something like that. So it's just edging out Jamar Chase. But TJ Watt, he had 19 sacks in 2023. He only had 11 in 17 games, 11 and a half in 17 games in 2024. Only 5.5 in 2022. Now, he was hurt for some of that. And I know, you know, he does some things. He means some things to that roster. Outside of just what he does in terms of the sack numbers. Again, he is like this face of the franchise kind of a deal. They're similar to that of Terry McLaurin. But I think the leverage is still very much with Adam Peters. And this is kind of fun for somebody like me that at least is taking this lens of trying to figure out how Adam Peters operates. Like, I'm fascinated with the idea of being an NFL general manager and being one who has learned from what they do in San Francisco, who has learned from what they did in Denver when Denver was at a point of success, learned from what they did in New England when New England was at a point of success. New England is very different from like San Francisco in this particular comparison because Bill Belichick doesn't care about anybody's thoughts, feelings, or opinions. He will cut anybody. It doesn't matter. I remember distinctly he was cutting Lawyer Malloy, who was like one of the best safeties in the league during their early Super Bowl runs, and he just did it like it was nothing. I don't think Adam Peters is going to be that reckless, so to speak, or that cold-hearted, but San Francisco always had this tendency to wait. They were never first out of the gate when it came to paying guys, but they always paid their guys. So that's one of the main reasons I feel pretty good about this. The waiting game sucks because you want this deal to be done as soon as possible. It would have been great if Terry was a full participant in mini camps, but San Francisco always pays their guys. So I'm not too worried about the timing thing. I do just want it to be done as soon as training camp begins, because once you start to miss training camp, and my guess is that Terry would hold out, not hold in, just based off of how mini camp went. You know, listening back to some of the press conference stuff, he made it seem like he had to leave. He didn't have to. That was a conversation with him and his representations, and that was the decision that they came to. But it wasn't like I have to leave. It was I'm deciding to leave because I feel like leaving would benefit me in terms of what I'm trying to achieve here. Once you start missing days of training camp, then you'll see a little bit of movement in the panic meter. Not a lot, but a little bit. If you don't get something done by the end of training camp, then that thing is going to be skyrocketing all over the place. But it is important to remind everyone, they have done this before here with Sam Cosmi last offseason. You know, this whole Adam Peters regime was very, very new to us here. And Sam Cosmi was a really, really good player, still is a really good player. Not quite viewed in the same lens as Terry McLaurin, although it was very clear that Sam Cosmi was on a trajectory to be very, very good and, you know, solidifying that right guard position. But they paid him in September. Sam did all of the training camp last year, all of the mini camp. He didn't have a fifth-year option. We started to think, if I remember correctly, we started to think and maybe take some calls on being concerned that Sam Cosmi would be Brandon Scherff 2.0, where you get into this franchise tag thing, and then after a year or two with a franchise tag, you're just, both sides are so upset at one another that they go their separate ways. Sam didn't do that. He signed his contract in September. He's going to be here for the long term, right? I would prefer they sign Terry before September, but we do have that one data point of knowing that they are going to pay their guys. They kept Bobby Wagner this offseason, didn't have to. They kept him. They kept Zach Ertz this offseason, didn't have to. They kept him. Those are two guys that the coaching staff, the front office has been very, very vocal about being Commanders, right? How many times have we heard that over the last year and change about we want Commanders and the people that match the culture and the energy that we expect to bring? Terry is that guy. That's one of the things. Like, I don't think that this front office is a bunch of hypocrites. I do not. So because they have preached about being a Commander and Terry is that prototypical Commander, I am still confident that a deal ultimately gets done. It's just a question of what the numbers are going to look like. Does he get over $30 million? Does he get more than $30 million? How many years are it? What are the guarantees? This is going to be Terry's last big contract. You know, second extension, but third contract in the NFL. Most great NFL players, you might get, if you're truly elite of the elite, you might get a fourth big contract. But, like, that's for quarterbacks only. Most players get three really big contracts, so I don't fault him for trying to squeeze as much out of it as possible, especially when you consider that this organization has the cap space to be able to handle the kind of money that Terry is asking for. In terms of the number itself, Ian Rapoport has done some really good reporting on that. You will hear what he said about that number, and we will start to take your call. So line up on the phones at 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. Do you think that Terry McLaurin signs his extension prior to the beginning of training camp? It's our poll question as well at the Team 980 on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter at the Denton Day. I am Denton Day, sitting in for Kevin Sheehan on the Kevin Sheehan Show. We talk numbers on the Terry contract next.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Is the Kevin Sheehan Show. Denton Day sitting in for Kevin here on the Team 980 at the Denton Day on Twitter. Our poll question of the day is available at the Team 980. Do you believe that Terry McLaurin is going to sign his extension before training camp? Go vote on that. You can line up on the phones as well at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980, and you can answer that question. We're also available on YouTube. You can watch us every single day, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern time on the Team 980's YouTube page. Retweet there. Subscribe there, rather. Retweet us. We're on Twitter, too. And I do look at the chat, apparently more than Kevin does, so I do look at the chat. Yesterday, we had Anthony Armstrong on. Anthony Armstrong is one half of the Believe in Commanders podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. His co-host is the mighty Scott Jackson. They had Ian Rapoport on yesterday, and Rapoport reported earlier in the week that Terry McLaurin was looking for $30 million per year, which is much smaller of a number than I thought he was looking for. I thought Terry was looking in the neighborhood of $31 to $32 million a year. So 30 is very, very different, especially over the course of three, potentially 4 years. Rappaport was on with Scott Jackson on the Believe Podcast Network. Scott asked him about this. Here's what Rappaport said about the Terry McLaurin contract.
Well, you know, I think it's really just they just have not agreed on value yet. You know, I think it's both sides are clear that they want to be there together. They want to, you know, see this through for many more years to come. Third contracts are tough, right? I mean, he's obviously older. You know, you look at, let's say, like Garrett Wilson. Like, all right, Garrett Wilson's getting 32 yep. and a half a year. That's a great deal. Maybe that's something that could help Terry McLaurin. And I think it definitely helped him, you know, as far as like making the case. Terry McLaurin's a lot older. These are not, you know, apples to apples. I'm sure he's going to want over $30 million. A lot of the really good receivers are sort of, you know, using that benchmark now. We'll see if he gets there. You know, I do believe it's something that will get done, because when you have two sides that want to move forward together, a lot of times you figure out a way to get the deal done. I just know they aren't quite there just yet.
So Rappaport says that both sides want to get the deal done. I am a little confused by one of the things that he mentioned. He just said, I'm sure that he wants over $30 million. I heard that correctly, right? My ears are not playing tricks on me.
That's not a report. That's a gut thing.
But he had said earlier this week that he wants $30 million. So that has either changed or, like, I'm trying to connect the dots here. If I'm looking too deep into things, my sincerest apologies. I know that, you know, doing this job, you might stumble across words from time to time. But he said he wants $30 million on Monday. And then yesterday with Scott, he said I'm sure he wants over $30 million. That is a crucial bit of information, right? Like, that is a very crucial bit of information.
Two very different numbers.
Very different numbers that could in turn be very different in the long term, especially when you're talking about value. I would sign Terry McLaurin to a 3-year, $96 million contract. That gets him at about $32 million per year. You can front load the contract, so at the end of that contract, you're paying significantly less. And if you are worried about some sort of statistical drop off, it's much more comfortable when you're paying less at the end of the contract, to where you can say, all right, look, like this is happening. We need to figure out a situation here. But you know, at least now, he is in the prime of his career. I don't think most 30-year-olds completely fall off a cliff at wide receiver. Is there some sort of drop-off? Certainly. Is it fair to expect that Terry is going to catch 15 touchdowns in 2025? I would say no. I don't think there are very many receivers that consistently stack upwards of 12 to 13 to 14 touchdowns on a consecutive basis or any kind of regular basis in the NFL. But if he still has 7, 8, 9, 10, that's still good at 30 years old. And you can still argue that, you know, 85 catches, over 1,000 yards, 8 touchdowns, that's worthy of being a number one wide receiver, and number one wide receivers are worthy of over $30 million per year in today's day and age in the NFL. Plus, on top of that, in a couple of years, by the time the end of this contract comes to be, and you obviously you're going to start getting ready to pay Jaden Daniels, but that $32 million or whatever it is on the back end is not going to be anywhere near as expensive as it is today. We've seen this time in and time again with almost every single position that gets paid in the NFL. We have multiple defensive ends getting paid over $35 million in the NFL. That was unthinkable like 3 years ago. We got multiple receivers getting paid over $30 million. That was unthinkable. I think it's almost 10 wide receivers that are getting paid north of $30 million per year. That was unthinkable a couple of years ago. Jaden Daniels might get paid $70 million in his contract, depending on how the next couple of years go. So the market is always going to be changing. And because the NFL is the king of maximizing funds, they're a billion-dollar enterprise that continues to steamroll over just about everyone who is in their path. $30 million, $31 million in 2027 is not going to be anywhere near as steep as it is in 2025. And it's not even all that steep in 2025. So you can jump in on the phone lines at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Do you believe that Terry is going to get his contract extension prior to the start of training camp? This is our poll question on the Team 980, at the Team 980 on Twitter. 70%, it's early, but 70% of people that have voted on this poll question have said that, yes, the deal is going to get done. 30% have said, no, they do not think a deal is going to get done by the time training camp starts. I'd be very curious to hear from those that say no. Why is it that you say no? Why do you think, what do you think is the holdup in this deal not taking place in the next 9 days? It's a little over a week before they report to camp for the first time. Why is it that you do not think that this deal is going to get done? I want to hear from those people in particular. You can tweet me at the Denton Day. Our phone lines are open at 301-230-0980. We're also available in the YouTube chat. You can watch us on YouTube daily, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern time here on the Kevin Sheehan Show. I'm Denton Day sitting in for Kevin Sheehan. I'm still optimistic that Terry is going to get paid prior to training camp. I think he's going to be there. I think he's going to be smiling. He'll probably show up to the press conference, because we always do a press conference after these things. He's going to show up to the press conference in a nice burgundy suit. I know we got one of those things in the closet. Hopefully not the way that like Carson Wentz did all those years ago, but I know Terry got a burgundy suit in the closet. He's going to show up. It's going to be all smiles. I want to be here. They wanted me here. It's nice to feel wanted. Let's go out on the field. That's my projection of how that press conference is going to end up going. All right, so let's hit the phones. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Do you think that Terry McLaurin gets paid before training camp starts? Let's go to Eric in Norfolk. Eric, what's going on?
Denton, so yeah, I don't know if he gets signed per se before training camp starts, but I do think the timeline has moved up. And one of the big reasons for that is Trey Amos getting signed last night. And I think that was probably a larger priority for them at the moment, just because, you know, rookies report today. They want to get all their rookies signed and kind of up to speed as quick as possible. And so now that that's happening, I think the communications and chess pieces are going to start moving around a little bit quicker. And, you know, to reiterate something I said earlier in the week, we want to get the communication open. Like, you know, I'm not as worried about the contract being signed today or by Monday or Tuesday. It's getting the communication open and getting to a good place where maybe Terry does hold in, you know, and just shows up and is part of the meetings and get the conversations kind of going.
Yeah, that's a great call, Eric. I'm with you on the communication. I think now is the time where the communication opens. When Terry said that they had not talked in a month, it was very easy to take that sound clip and sprint with it, not run with it, and sprint with it as if it is this absolute nuke. It's a knock on the organization, and they're just phasing him out. Generally speaking, I don't think there's a lot of conversations going on around the end of June and the early portion of July. It's kind of the off time. You don't get a lot of off time in the NFL during the off season, but it's kind of like a 5-6 week period where almost everybody is on some form of vacation. They're away. I mean, did you notice, Max? Maybe I'm the only one that picked up on this. When they put together that Art Monk video, it was very, very well done. The Commander social team over the last like 2 years has been on fire, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, whoever they hired has been just crushing it out of the park.
On fire. But did you notice that both Adam Peters and Dan Quinn seemed like they were on vacation? They were in area. They didn't go down to Florida. Josh Harris did. But they didn't go down to Florida. It felt like Dan Quinn was, it looked like he was sitting somewhere where a pool is in his backyard. And I know there are pools in people's backyards in Northern Virginia, but that felt like it was a I'm not here kind of a deal. People are just off. Like they go away for a little bit, and it is some element of recharging the batteries. So it didn't bother me that they had not spoken in a month. It is way worse to me if they were speaking and a deal wasn't done. If they had open dialogue for that entire month and they still weren't coming to any sort of deal, that would be terrifying, because it means that there's something really going on that is limiting the progression of the deal. They're just not talking. They're not talking. So I do wonder how they felt about that internally, about him coming out there and saying that. I do wonder if that was the plan. If they said, hey, we are not going to talk for X amount of weeks. We're going to do our stuff, handle our stuff. Guys are going to be on vacation. We're going to be out of town. It's a big holiday. I mean, even Terry was on vacation for a certain part of that. Now, he's not like sitting in these discussion rooms. This is why he hires representation. agents, PR, whoever it is. He's not like sitting in a meeting room with Adam Peters hearing all these conversations, but guys just go on vacation. So I didn't really have all that big of a deal with them with him saying they haven't spoken in a month. That didn't strike me, strike anywhere near as negative of a chord with me as it did or seemingly did with others. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Do you believe that Terry McLaurin is going to get signed prior to training camp? Let's go to Tony in D.C. Tony, what's going on?
Man, I just want to say, we're like a bunch of little bad kids, man. it's been so long since we had an organization that did things the right way. They got us one game for the Super Bowl, and we dare sit around and question if they know what they're doing. And then we say things like this organization as if we're still talking about the last regime. If they decided to move on from Terry, I trust the process, bro, because these guys appear to know what they're doing. I don't know too many teams that have signed high-dollar wide receivers and because of that won a Super Bowl. So Terry is under contract. Terry's going to show up and play.
Yeah.
Now, if he balls out again, all right, then we go ahead and pay him. But you got to remember, this dude's almost 31 years old. See, we're falling in love with Terry being a great guy. Here we go. We're trying to sign Boy Scouts again. We want the nicest guys on the field. We love him. Let's pay him. He's 31 years old. We got to make business decisions and stop being so attached.
Well, he's not quite 31. He turns 30 in September. So he's 29 now.
For 30 years, we've been doing it the other way. Now we got another regime that's doing it the other way that looks good, and we're questioning it. Doesn't make sense.
Now, I agree with you in this stance, Tony. That's a great call. I agree with you in this stance. It is hypocritical for us to trust Adam Peters and bang the drum, let Adam cook, all of these things last year, and then immediately turn our back on him this year. I do not subscribe to that, so I am with you in that regard. Why this would bother me a little bit with the Terry thing is that I am of the belief that Terry still has good football left in him. I am of the belief that he still has at least three good seasons left in him, and I would like those three good seasons to be here. If they move on from Terry, which at this point they're not going to do, at least this year, he is going to play this year. Bar none, he's going to play this year. It's too late to trade him for any sort of real value. If you really thought that a deal was not going to get done and you wanted to explore the avenues of a trade, you do that in May at the NFL draft. Because his value at that point would be sky high. The highest it would be probably ever, because you'd be able to squeeze a first-round pick out of somebody for a guy like Terry McLaurin. Teams need good wide receivers. He's a good wide receiver. The first round, especially in the later portion of the first round, is a little bit of a hodgepodge, if you will. You think you're getting a good player, but sometimes you don't really know. That's happened to this organization. How many people thought Josh Doctson was going to be a killer? He wasn't. I mean, he killed our team internally, but he wasn't a killer on the field, right? So that is when the value for Terry would have been the best. He's going to play here in Washington in 2025. I just want them to sign him because I still think there's good football to squeeze out of Terry McLaurin. But I'm not turning my back on Adam Peters. So I agree with you, Tony, in that specific regard. I'm not turning my back on Adam Peters based off of how this has transpired. This is part of the business of football. Things we had to know that things were not always going to be sunshine and rainbows. That there was going to be some hard times to get over. This is one of them. I ultimately still think the deal is going to get done, but this is just learning about how Adam Peters operates and what to expect for years, decades, hopefully, to come. I hope this is Adam Peters' last job in the NFL. Things are going really, really well if it's his last job in the NFL. I hope it's his last job in the NFL and he takes this job until he's like 65 or 70 and says, you know what, I'm going to go like travel the world now. I hope this is his last job. This is just the first like real sign of not adverse. It's a tough decision. It's a tough decision that you're going to have to make. How much do we pay him? Do we pay him? All of that. You just got to figure out and see how he operates. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. Do you believe that the Terry McLaurin extension is going to happen before training camp? I'll take more of your calls. You can vote on our poll question as well at the Team 980. I'm Denton Day sitting in for Kevin Sheehan. Don't go anywhere.
All right, here's what's trending on this Friday, July 18th. Lloyd Howell is out as the executive director of the NFL Players Association. This is coming amid scrutiny regarding a collusion case, as well as Howell's part-time consulting position at the Carlyle Group, a private equity firm approved to seek minority ownership of NFL teams. And T.J. Watt has reached a deal with the Pittsburgh Steelers to make him the highest-paid non-quarterback in football. He has signed a three-year extension worth up to $123 million, with $108 fully guaranteed at signing. Mike Williams, he is retiring. He's closing the book on an eight-year NFL career. Williams was looking to make his return to the Chargers roster after a disappointing final 2 years in both LA, New York, and Pittsburgh. He was working through an injury at Chargers camp and was placed on the PUP list before training camp. Like I said, closing the book on an eight-year career. Dame Lillard is returning to the Portland Trailblazers after being waived by the Milwaukee Bucks. Dame signs a three-year, $42 million contract and is set to make $141 million over the next two seasons. And after almost 2 weeks, baseball is back in the nation's capital. The Nats return home tonight from the All-Star break to take on the San Diego Padres. Michael Soroka likely to get the start against Dylan Cease. First pitch at 6:45. Nats on deck with Charlie and Dave at 6:15. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live from 10 to 1 and Craig Hoffman from 4 to 7. Don't forget to like the streams and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that is what's trending.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Is the Kevin Sheehan Show. Denton Day sitting in for Kevin on the Team 980. Adam Epstein is going to join us in 15 minutes here on the show. Real quickly, we'll get back to Terry. Take some of your phone calls at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Max in the update, the trending now, mentioning that Mike Williams is retiring. Mike Williams was an unbelievable wide receiver at Clemson. Hurt like hell in all of his years in Los Angeles. He did play relatively well last year for Pittsburgh. He caught one touchdown in 2024.
And you know who that was against?
One touchdown, and it was that touchdown.
It was the
2 minutes and 22 seconds. Beat Benjamin St. Juiced.
Who's already getting burned in practice, by the way.
Maybe, shocker, maybe the best throw of the season for Russell Wilson, and it beat the Commanders. That was a tough game, man. The Commanders left at least 14 points on the field.
Hurt like hell.
It was one of the only games where it felt like Jaden actually missed multiple throws. They left at least 14 points on the field, and they lost by one. So I hope Mike Evans finds happiness. Just know, at least for a week, he robbed it from me. Although the Commanders ended up being fine. All right, getting back to the phone lines here at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Do you believe that Terry McLaurin is going to sign his contract extension before the start of training camp? This is a poll question as well. You can follow me on Twitter at The Denton Day. You can find our poll question on Twitter at The Team 980. 73% of people say yes, that Terry is going to get a deal done before training camp. Let's go to Mark in Largo. Mark, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, Denton? How you doing? Yeah, I was asking a screen caller. I think the training camp starts on Wednesday, right? Or Thursday?
I think it's Thursday. I have the schedule. Okay.
I think it'll get done by Tuesday. And here's the reason why. I think they were severely distracted for the last couple of weeks with the Trey Amos situation. Now that Trey Amos has been took care of him last night, yesterday to be exact, I think now that they can turn all their attentions on Terry, and I think they can get everything done. I think Terry will be probably at Ashburn probably by Sunday, as his agent will call him and say they're in the conversation. We're talking. We just want to we got a deal done. We just got to get everything passed out and stuff. And I'll probably think they'll get everything done by Tuesday. And the reason is because you don't want no distractions coming in. And I know a lot of people say, well, Terry doesn't need a distraction. Well, see, here's the bigger difference now. You got Deebo Samuel now. Terry has to learn how to play with Deebo. Terry has to learn how to play with Jalen Lane. So, in a sense, you know, you do have to get him in there so he could kind of work on everything and try to get everything to work the way you want it to. And I think it'll get done no later than Tuesday.
I hope you're right, Mark. I appreciate the call, as always. There is already, I think, if he gets it done on Tuesday, you get a press conference on Wednesday, I would think. Or maybe they just knock the whole thing out and they do a press conference as soon as they sign it. He's already there. Tuesday would be fine, I think. I do think they want to get the press conference done and the deal done before they actually start training camp. I pulled up the wrong date there, so I'll get that in a second. Rick is in Lutherville. Rick, what's going on?
Hey, Denton, how are you? I don't think it will be done before training camp, and I think he'll be a hold in versus a hold out. And I do think it's a really tricky situation with Terry. Everybody loves Terry. Heck, I think he's practically saved the franchise in some ways over the last 4 or 5 years. But the dilemma is as follows, and you're a stat guy. I'm a stat guy. I don't have all the stats in front of me, but I heard a run of stats 10 days ago that said he was like 19th in yards, 23rd in one other category, and I don't think he's in the top 10. I put him somewhere around 13th, 14th, 15th in the receiver numbers. And I just don't think – I think one of the dilemmas is the length of term. No, it should never be a four-year. And the other side of the fence is I don't think he should earn a contract with a three in front of it. You know, I'd pay him 28, 29. That would be a 85% increase on his pay. And not many employers will give you an 85% increase on your salary. So it's a double whammy, but I think it'll be a hold in versus a hold out.
Let me ask you this, Rick, before I let you go. Do you believe that Terry is better than T. Higgins?
No.
Okay. Then what you are saying is fair. I would slightly disagree, but I wanted to ask that question because if you do think that Terry is better than T. Higgins, you got to pay more than 28. T. Higgins is getting 28 in Cincinnati as the definitive number two there. Terry is not a definitive number two here. He is definitively the number one guy. Deebo, we have high hopes for, but we don't know exactly how that's going to pan out. So if you think he's worse than T. Higgins, I would disagree with that. But if you think he's worse than T. Higgins, you can pay him less than T. Higgins. If you think he's better than T. Higgins, you got to pay him a little bit more than T. Higgins. You know, so I think that Terry is going to get 30. If you have a number one wide receiver in the NFL in 2025 and you are negotiating a contract, you're going to give him at least $30 million. That feels like the floor. Brandon Ayuk got $30 million last year. Brandon Ayuk is a really good player. I think you can make an argument that Terry McLaurin is better than Brandon Ayuk. Ayuk is younger, but Terry McLaurin is better than Brandon Ayuk. I would feel very comfortable making that argument. I think Ayuk runs really great routes, but we've never seen him as the definitive number one guy absolutely just destroy. He always had that luxury of playing next to Deebo Samuel and Christian McCaffrey and George Kittle. He played in loaded offenses. You've seen a lot of man-v-man coverages. We watched Terry McLaurin at the end of last year because there was no other real weapons on this offense, yet bracketed by everybody. That's why he had that stretch, specifically that game against Atlanta, where he was pretty much a non-factor. Now, Jaden won the damn thing. You know, Zacchaeus had a great game that particular outing. Zach Ertz caught the game-winning touchdown. It was an epic game from Jaden and everybody else, but Terry was bracketed the entire time. I think playing alongside Deebo is going to give him a little bit of relief, and I do think that needs to be factored into this. If you think, like, I believe that Terry still has good years left in him. On top of that, he has a quarterback that we know is a dude in Jaden Daniels. On top of that, you added weapons like a Deebo Samuel that open up the field a little bit, and it's going to make Terry's life a little bit easier. So I still think you can squeeze out a couple of good years out of Terry McLaurin. Josh is in Columbia. Josh, you're on the Team 980.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to say that There is a high possibility that I believe the deal will get done before training camp. But in my mind, I feel like we're at this point where we're at a standstill that it's kind of hard to see what will really change, all right? You know what I mean? So it's like, who's really going to, take the loss here? You know what I mean? Is it going to be the team where it's like, okay, we'll pay you what you want, Terry? Or is Terry going to be like, you know what? I'll lose a couple mil just to be on this team. Now, I feel like if the distraction gets so heavy at the first 2 days of training camp, it's like, hey, Terry's not here, and they're constantly getting those questions, then I feel like they'll get a little bit more pressure to feel like they have to get something done quicker. There has to be a point where the news becomes almost like a distraction to the team, where I feel like they'll get something done quicker. But until that point comes, I really don't see anything changing anytime soon. But I just want to say, Jaden Daniels also, like, he's having the Peyton Manning effect. He's this guy's amazing, you know what I mean? So I can understand why the team, why the team is kind of taking their time with signing Terry, because Jaden Daniels is that good. So thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it,
Josh. So there's one thing that I'm going to push back on. I do not want my front office to be influenced by headlines. Been there, done that. That was, if I could describe the Ron Rivera experience in 4 years and everybody that was associated with Ron Rivera, it felt like they were way too influenced by headlines. They wanted to win the PR, which was why listening to Ron speak on a daily basis was like nails on a chalkboard. If you listen to Ron speak once, you might enjoy what he says. He seems like a very nice man, charismatic to an extent. When you listen to him every day, it's just back and forth and back and forth. And the issue with trying to win the narrative and win the PR, like what Josh had kind of just alluded to, it's not exactly what he said, but I just want to make sure that I'm saying this. I don't want the people that are in charge to care what we say on the radio, what the headlines are in the paper, on social media, blogs, podcasters, whatever. That should not factor a ton into their decision making. They understand what Terry represents to this fan base. They're not going to pull a Nico Harrison who traded Luka Doncic in the NBA and then got in front of a microphone and said, I didn't know the people liked him that much. Hey, genius, open your eyes up a little bit. The powers that be here understand the feeling of the fan base, but I don't want them to be shifted in terms of how they approach the way they build a team and just their fundamental principles by the pressure of the media by saying this needs to get done. They know that. They're going to operate accordingly to what they are believing internally. This is still a multi-year process. You know, I know Adam Peters has said that they want to win. Dan Quinn never said it was a rebuild. He said it was a recalibration. This is a multi-year process of building a sustained winner. Signing Terry, at least in the short term, is beneficial to that goal. That is why I want him to be signed. He's beneficial to that goal. But this is a long-term thing that they got to take in a lot of different factors into consideration. This is why they hired all the dorks in the front office, the analytic people. I have always been a firm believer that there needs to be a balance between analytic and stuff that actually, like the feel of the game, the emotion of the game. Football is emotional. We're not playing this damn thing on calculators. So, like, there needs to be a balance of that. And I think this organization and this front office, at least right now, has a good balance of that. One more call before we get to AWOD at 11. Let's go to Bones in Southeast. Bones, what's going on?
Hey, my main man, thanks for taking my call. Shout out to Matt.
Yep.
You know, I really have no idea. I wish they would get it done before training camp. But my thing is, right, I'm glad that you hear all the people, man, that, you know, really speaking against Terry, man, talking about Terry not this and Terry not that, and they shouldn't do this and Terry. I'm really, really glad that I can hear this, man, because that lets me know we still got these fair weather fans around here, right? But as soon as they sign Terry, you understand, it's going to be war. Jaden Daniels, Debo Samuel, Terry McLaurin, Gallup, and all the rest of them. Thanks for taking my call, man. I love y'all guys, man. Peace, man.
Yeah, Bones, appreciated. Coming up next, we'll talk with Adam Epstein, the host of AWOT Radio Weekends on 106.7 The Fan and down in Richmond on 910 The Fan. Does he believe that Terry McLaurin signs his contract prior to training camp? That conversation is next. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show with Dent Day sitting in for Kevin on the Team 980.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall! Did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.